Like snowflakes, no two people are alike. Those differences bring great variety, but they can also plant seeds of conflict. Each of us is wired from birth to put self first. Only the Spirit of God can smooth the rough edges and help us extend ourselves in blessing to others. Today, Erwin Lutzer tells the story of a cab driver with a horrid past, a man who needed a friend. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new four-part series on Christians in Conflict. He's talking with us on what to do when personalities collide and how being a blessing can defuse tensions.
We live in a world that needs blessing. Let me tell you a story. This past week, I flew to Chattanooga and I caught a cab to the airport. 12 to 15 minutes at the most with this driver. Had never seen him before. We talked about Iraq. Then he told me that he was in the Vietnam War. And he said, in war, you just have to blow people away. You can't have any pity. He says, I killed Viet Cong. He said, I went into this village because I was a gunner. They shot at me, and I said, you shoot at me, I'll shoot at you. And he said, I mowed the whole village down, everyone in the village, and he described it. And then he surprised me by saying, and he says, you know what the worst part of it all was? And I said, what? He said, I loved doing it. He said, they wanted to kill me, so I wanted to kill them. And he's describing what he did, and I asked how many he killed, and I won't tell you the number, but it was a very, very high number according to his estimate. By now, we're almost at O'Hare Airport, and so I said to him, did this affect your relationship with your family when you got back? Oh, yeah, he said, I was mean. He said, I didn't want anyone to talk with me. He said, I never beat them, but I'd wake up in the night hearing shells in my dreams falling close to me and detonating. And he said, it really affected me. All right, by now we are at O'Hare. I said to him before I got out of the car, I said, has anyone ever prayed for you? Now, he didn't have to go to the trunk because I just had a very small thing with me. And he said, no, nobody's ever prayed for me. I said, you know what? This is your day. I'm sitting at the back. He's sitting at the front. I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed for him, like obviously he had never been prayed for before. I asked God to bless him. I asked God to show him that he cared about him, that God was available to him to help him. I mean, I prayed everything I could. When I was finished, he thanked me twice. Folks, we live in a broken world out there. We live in a world that is so tragic and so broken. Why don't we become agents of blessing? Now, Jesus said, obviously, that you should bless your families, you should bless friends, but you should also bless your enemies. Notice he says, bless and curse not. How do you bless the person that you're having such a hard time getting along with? What you do is you say to them, you know, I have been praying for you, and I'd like to know how I can pray for you better that God would bless you. Is there any request that you can share with me so that I can pray God's blessing upon your life? That's the way in which you handle difficult people. You pray that God will bless them. And then you do good things for them. That's exactly what Jesus said in a passage that we discussed not too long ago when he says, do good to those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. And you begin to do good things to those who are regarded as your enemies, to those who have been doing you in, and that's the way in which you live because that's the way Jesus lived, and that's the way God is. The Bible says that he sends his rain upon the just and the unjust and gives blessing to all, and that's the way in which we become children who are like our heavenly Father. And like Jesus, who on the cross said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. We bless and we do not curse. By the way, I've sometimes done this with waitresses too. Wish I had enough nerve to do it more often. But I will say after they say, now that you have your food, is there anything else I can do for you? I'll say, you know, in a moment we're going to pray. Is there anything, can we include you in the prayer? Is there anything that we can pray for you about? I remember one woman who broke out in tears. You know, our world is so harsh. Let us be people who bless and not curse. I think of my friend who works in Europe with Muslim people. He received a letter from a Muslim who said, "Cursed be your wife, cursed be you, cursed be your family, cursed be your car, cursed be your home." And he wrote back and said, "Blessed be you, blessed be your wife, blessed be your home, blessed be everything that pertains to you." Jesus said, "Bless and do not curse." The power of blessing. Secondly, the power of humility. That's what I've called verses 15 and 16. You'll notice it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be conceited." The word humility does not occur there, but that's the whole idea in those two verses. First of all, it means that we connect with people. Pride is something that we see very clearly in the lives of others, but we do not see pride in our own life. It is very difficult to detect. It always is beneath the radar. In fact, I have a wonderful sermon on humility. It's a great sermon. And I'm waiting for a crowd big enough to preach it to. Yesterday, I took time to walk along Wells Street because the art fair is there, and I saw a guy with a T-shirt who said, "I'm very wonderful." Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you think bought that T-shirt? I venture to say he bought it all by himself. It means we connect with others. We rejoice with those who rejoice, which is very difficult to do. To weep with those who weep, that's even the unsaved can weep with those who weep. But can we rejoice with those who rejoice? Somebody who's always been a little bit uppity in relationship to you, a little bit bragging, you know, and we've all met people like that. They're like a cowboy I once knew in Texas. He was all hat and no cows. You know, you know the kind. We've all met people like that, and then suddenly they get a windfall. You know, they call you on the phone and they say, "You know, my uncle died and I just inherited $2 million. I just learned." And they say, "Let's go celebrate. Let's go to McDonald's and celebrate." Then you go with them to McDonald's, and they expect you to pay for your own burger. Can you rejoice with them? Oh, that's difficult to do. The Bible says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice." I've always prayed that God would enable me to rejoice over those who are more successful than I. And imagine when we get to heaven, Jonathan Edwards says, we are going to be so free of envy that when we see those above us in the kingdom, we will rejoice as if their exaltation were our own. Humility means that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. And we are not conceited. We read the text here. And we associate with those who are lowly. In the early church, slavery was still a problem. But one of the things that the church insisted on was that the slaves sit with the owners in the same bench, because they knew that to make a distinction was unscriptural. That's why James says, if somebody comes into your assembly and he's got all kinds of gold chains and he's living large, you don't put him in a special category. No, 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 no. He sits with the rest. It means impartiality. How does humility help us to get along with one another? Humility makes us realize that we do not have to insist upon our rights. We give up our right even to happiness. We give up our right to be somebody. We give up our right to be noticed and to be recognized. And we give all of those rights over to God, and we no longer have them. And that enables us to have a different kind of relationship with people, because we are now no longer obsessed with fairness. You see, it is fairness that makes us so angry, because we feel as if it isn't fair. This isn't fair. That isn't fair. He gets that. Fair, 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 fair. When we are finally broken before God and totally humble, we realize something, that grace isn't fair. The fact that God loved us so much and forgave all of our sins, that isn't fair. And therefore, because grace isn't fair, we're willing to live with unfairness, and we're not obsessed with the need to make sure that we get our piece of the pie, because we are content with who we are and our relationship with God. We fight for fairness on the part of others, but we ourselves are not obsessed with the need of our own need to be treated fairly. That's the way we get along with one another, and God helps us in the process. We think of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that God humbled himself, and yet man remains proud. So what is God trying to do? He's trying to help us get over the idea that we have rights that we need to hang on to. I told you years ago about a woman who came to see me buckets full of papers, trying to prove that one of the hospitals here in the area had been guilty of malpractice, and that's why her mother died. How many years ago did this happen? 7. I've been to all these attorneys, but maybe you as a pastor could help me. Lady, maybe the hospital is as guilty as you think it is, but give it up. Life is passing you by. Move on. And as we shall see in a moment, we don't have to reconcile all of these things in this life. So hang on. First of all, we have the power of blessing. Secondly, the power of humility. Thirdly, the power of faith. Now, the word faith doesn't occur in verse 17 and following, but you'll see in a moment why I have labeled it faith. You need faith to be able to obey this. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Wow. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, my friend, and yes, we do need to respond to what the Bible says about our vengeance. Vengeance is mine, I will recompense, says the Lord. As I like to point out, whether it's the life of Joseph or other people who experience great wrong within their families, Joseph was willing to say that he would not heap vengeance on his evil brothers, or at least the evil that they had done against him, because, he says, I am not in the place of God. Today I'm speaking to someone who's never been able to release the bitterness that is in your soul. Would you just take a moment right now? If you're driving a car, you can pull off on the side of the road. If you're in your home, bow your head. Wherever you may be, would you pray and say, Father, this bitterness that I have hung onto, this stone in my heart, by your grace today I spill out that hurt and I open my life to you. I can't deal with this, but I do give you permission to deal with it, O Lord. Let us be free from a spirit of vengeance that would cause us to think that we should do God's work, but have enough faith to believe that God will do right by us in the end.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part 2 of his message on When Personalities Collide, the 3rd in his series on Christians in Conflict. Tomorrow, more details on a wonderful reconciliation recorded in Genesis chapter 50. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our 4-part series on Christians in Conflict can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Christians in Conflict when you call. Visit our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.